Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
B-Pod Studios.
Now. I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mabb.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mabb.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tell y'all what, man. I want Tom Brady. I ain't gonna lie.
Look good in the air. Really tasty.
Hey, Tom, how many shots you want? This Chuck. Come on, man. I'm going to give you some shots, man. I want
all
some
right,
of you.
Gotta get going.
Chuck, I've been focusing on football, bro. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl.
Man. Ready to dominate.
Got it'll turn on. Don't worry. It ain't over yet.
Ain't over yet.
I think you just made him mad, Chuck.
Oh, no. I love it, though, man. He can take a joke.
Wow.
Hey, Chuck. Hey, man.
Chuck.
I got that's
Chuck.
Awesome.
Shut your mouth,
oh,
Chuck.
Man.
Take a little of that medicine. Get your butt out here.
Hey,
wow. That's what I needed.
Hey.
Back in the hole.
Hey, way to get $100,000 for Brooks Koepka.
What a thanks,
tasty
baby. Brooks,
take
it.
Wow.
Brooks, how about that? Hey, can I say a few things?
Please, you got the floor, Tom.
I haven't hit a good shot in 8 holes, so I'd like to speak for a little bit. Everyone get comfortable at home.
Yes.
Mom
the floor
and Dad,
is yours.
I love
hey,
you
the,
very much.
The floor is yours.
My wife, my kids, I love you.
I don't even know.
This has been a Peyton.
Come over and give you a little
bit. All or nothing guy.
Yeah. Hey, my wife, I love you. My kids, I love you.
Thank you. You got
thanks, baby.
Great
Jack,
job, brother.
I hope you're watching. When the going get tough, the tough get going, boys.
And when Charles Barkley starts throwing some shade, TB12 responds.
Brooks owes me a little money.
Yes, he does. Brooks Koepka said even a par on this front nine, $100,000.
Come on, baby.
That's awesome, man.
We're not out of it yet.
Awesome.
Okay, what was that?
That explains why he's the GOAT.
Birdie four for Tom.
Yeah, he was counting because it went out of bounds, chipped out of the woods like he had the entire front nine. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati here on a re-entry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Felger here from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester. Maz on remote. How you doing, Anthony?
Good, you?
Just peachy. Big Jim Murray here again in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Hi, Jim.
Hello.
Start off, and again, Reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Everything on the board from the weekend, but I do want to start off with the match and the golf from Sunday, and I really surprised myself how much I liked this thing and how much I got into this thing, and I think that will come through in the next hour as we go through it because I was prepared to fully ignore the thing. Fully ignore it. I think I had said last week or in previous shows that I don't do exhibitions, I don't do friendlies, I'm not interested in celebrity grab ass, and you know all those things are true. So I was not planning to give this a second of my time. It's not like I set the DVR or whatever, but I was around a TV at around 3:30. I even came in a little late. I turned the thing on, and I didn't turn it off until whatever it was 8 o'clock, and I sat there and watched the thing. And boy, did I surprise myself how much I enjoyed that afternoon of golf. It's the most fun I had watching golf in a long time. I got to tell you, it's the most fun I had watching that sport in a long time. And I don't think I was alone. It was generally well-received. I just, you know, reading from the reaction and the reviews, and certainly the TV ratings were through the roof. The TV ratings set a record for cable TV. Golf, the most watched golf telecast in cable TV history, which, before you scoff, remember, Masters, U.S. Open, those early rounds are now on ESPN, Fox Sports 1, etc. So this was the most watched golf event on cable ever. So it was well received. And I guess my question is, Maz, and I'll start with this to you and the audience, why?
Yeah.
Why? Why was it so well received?
So look, I think the big thing is the appetite. I mean, I think we were all craving a live sporting event. And, you know, this one was an exhibition, but it was, you know, involved some big names and gave people a reason to dial in. So to me, I admit it. I missed the beginning of it. I checked in about three or four holes in. And then once I started watching, I pretty much sat there for the duration of it. So, you know, it was fairly entertaining. I mean, I liked the banter back and forth. It was reasonably competitive. Obviously came down to the final hole. I had some big names. And again, it was a live event.
Why did you like it?
I told you, I think I just had an appetite to see people compete.
So is that it? So,
and when I say people compete, I mean people that I care about. So, you know, you're talking about Tiger and Brady are two of the biggest figures in the history of their sports.
Well, you just
mentioned Manning and Mickelson.
And I'm sorry to cut you off because you just introduced another element. Did it do well and do we like it? Because we're so freaking horny for sports and competition that'll get us to sit in front of the TV. If that was broadcast in normal times against whatever would be going on right now, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, horse racing, baseball, etc., would it just be a blip on the radar?
Yeah, I think it does half the number that it got. But
me too.
They have a captive audience. So unless you were floating in the Ozarks or out for like a hike like I was or playing golf like Maz was for the beginning of it, you're home. What the hell else are you going to do? It's the first American sporting event that involved a ball. Well, NASCAR's back, but who the hell gives a rat's ass about NASCAR? So it's marketable names people know on both ends of the spectrum, from people that actually follow golf and then sports fans. Everyone knows Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. I'm going to tune in. What the hell else I got going on?
So it was just that? Because they did another charity event with Rory and I don't even know who the week before, 2 weeks before. What was that other one?
Oh, I don't know.
I didn't give it a second of my time and no one did.
Yeah, me neither, yeah.
So that involved a ball?
Yeah, I forgot that even existed until you just mentioned it.
Exactly. So why did yesterday resonate and the one before, and I don't even know what that is again. I don't even care to even talk about it.
Mike, the answer is star power. It's Tom Brady, it's Peyton Manning, it's Tiger Woods, it's Phil Mickelson.
So
great star power right there. That's why it resonated.
Well, Rory McIlroy's one of the biggest names in that game.
Yeah, but he's not American. I mean, he's not American. And so, you know, now look, I'll tell you though, when you know, Tiger and Phil played, and that was a pay-per-view event, I didn't watch that. So I admit, you know, for me, a significant part of the lure was Brady. I mean, there's no question about it. If this had been someone other than Brady, let's say it had been Brett Favre, would I have watched? Probably not. So Brady was a big part of it for me, no two ways about it. But I will say, you know, it was late in the day on a Sunday, and that once I started to watch it, I got sucked in. And so, you know, the entertainment value of it was pretty good. But for me personally, if you sub Brady out for Brett Favre or something like that, I'm not sure I'm dialed in.
I might be, because let me tell you why I think it was important and not just Brady. He sucked.
Oh, boy, he was brutal. I loved every minute of it.
Right, exactly. That's what was gripping Maz. And this is what made it real. It wasn't just that it was star power. You could put the four biggest names in golf out there, and I'm sorry, I'm not watching it. I'm not. What made it outside of just how freaking hard up and horny we are for competition in sports, which is I think obvious, but I do think it went beyond that, because there was another golf event that just went off and no one gave two poops about it. Because you know why? No one gives two poops about those players, and no one gives two poops about the people who play golf nowadays. The allure to that was Brady and Manning, and particularly Brady, and particularly the fact that he sucked. That's what made it compelling. You're watching like, oh my God, Tom, you blow. Like, and then so, you know, he, you know, pushes one into the woods on one hole, and then he can't carry the drive on the next hole, and he's in the drink. And then he chips from one part of the big sand trap into another, and then he goes to the next hole, and you're like, Jesus, Tom, what are you going to do next? And then he floats one again off to the right into the crap. And then the next, and then he gets up next to the green and he chili dips the thing. And then the next one, he sculls it across the green. And you're going, oh my God. Tom, are you okay? This is unbelievable. So that's to me what made it gripping and what made it real. And then, of course, what you just heard on 8, he steps up and spins that thing in from 110 yards. And it's like, holy crap. So it was real. It was real, and it wasn't just four good golfers who, whatever, tee to green, like, bleh, boring, especially because the golfers today are so effing boring, you know, as evidenced by Tiger, who was, you know, about as interesting as a wet stick in that thing, but that's Tiger. But that's the tour. You can't get me to watch four current PGA Tour players. Tiger and Phil would be the two. Like, those would be the two that I care about because I know them. So there are people that you know and you care about. And in golf, there's just not enough people you know or care about. Even the greats, they're such stiffs. From Kepka to Spieth to whoever, they're all stiffs you don't care about. You care more about Manning and Brady and Favre and those guys than you do about any guy in the PGA Tour because they're such freaking stiffs. And not just that it's guys you know or care about, it's that then they played like you played. And that, to me, and then them managing it and then going back and forth and him pulling himself out of it, and that's what made it compelling. And I surprised myself, but make no mistake, to me, it was Brady sucking. It was Brady sucking. And then the whole, I thought it was well produced. I don't think that the TNT crew overdid it. I think, my guy Anderson there, who is the play-by-play guy for the Brewers, Maz, who you like to rag on, he was a perfect guy for it. He gets out of the way. He lets Barkley do his thing and Koepka do his thing. And I can't remember what hole this was, but Jimmy, play the exchange where Barkley bets him $25,000, then $50,000. That he can't hit the green, and this is when Brady can't, put one foot in front of the other. This is a great shot.
Hey, Tom, it's Chuck. If you hit the green, I'm going to give $25,000 out of my own pocket.
Chuck, you're amazing. Chuck, you got any swing tips for me? I'm struggling.
Hey, brother, listen, I'm not that guy you need tips from. But I'm going to donate. Tom, because you're my man, $50,000 if you hit the green.
Wow, Chuck, that's awful nice of you, man. Nice going. Was that, Chuck, 300 grand, did you say? Remind me?
A little 50 grand.
50, that's it.
I want him to hit the green, too. I really do.
See if Tom Brady can get into Chuck's pocket here a little bit.
Come on. Chuck, you save yourself $50,000.
Woof. Tom, I should have just said if you can just keep it on the planet.
Hey, when's football season start?
About a month.
Oh, I'm ready.
I'm going to be in Florida for a month. I'll stop by.
It was that bad.
Good. Come join me.
As soon as he hit it. So, not even close. Not even sniffing the green. That's what made it compelling.
Oh, he sucked. Boy, was he bad. Like, I did. I reveled in every second of
Wasn't
it. When he spun that wedge in, I thought, you got to be kidding me. Talk about having a horseshoe wedged up your backside.
Wasn't that great, though? And it was just on cue. Jimmy, what's the one where Barkley says, just because you're good at one sport doesn't mean you're good at the other. And Brady's on the edge of the green just for a simple, bump and run up onto the green, little chip up onto the green. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I'm just saying this for myself. You can be great in one sport and not great in another sport. I just want America to know that.
Well, right on cue.
Right on cue. He just totally chunks it about 2 feet in front of himself. This was great. It was one after the other. What was it? At one point, Brady's on the green like we all would, counting up his strokes. One, two. I was in the woods. Jimmy, you can go ahead. That one.
He's out of the hole.
And, yeah, he's counting two, three. We've all been there. Some of us have. Yep, five, running out of fingers.
Yeah, it was great. So that's what made it great, is that so like that I can watch. And not just someone sucking, but there's just, I don't know, it was just more real to me. And the way that they all interacted, I thought was terrific. So I don't know. I was gripped. I was into it. I think other people agree. The question is why? Was there something about it beyond just the fact that we're so hard up for sports that the wind blows and we get aroused over any sort of competition, right? Is that all that was? Or was there a little something more? And I think there was a little something more. So I ask you, your thoughts on that. Why was that so gripping yesterday? Who were you rooting for? Did you find yourself rooting for or against Brady? Were you cheering all those chili dips? Were you cheering all those times he pushed it into the marsh? Or were you cheering when he, drilled it from 110 yards out or rolled in the eagle putt? Were you cheering for him or were you cheering against him? Were there any football parallels to this thing? Did that show Brady's, did that show his fortitude, his confidence, his ability to, withstand adversity and be there in the big moment? Some people said, well, he took coaching pretty well in that one, too. He took coaching from Phil Mickelson pretty well. Does that show that Brady takes coaching? All of that. Is there any football tie-ins? We'll take your reaction and some more thoughts on it at 617-779-0985 right after this.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Yes. Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
You guys do a great show.
98.5 to Sports Hub.
You know, do you bring Eli? Could do that. You bring Nick Foles? Maybe.
Keep that.
I was thinking maybe Belichick. Bill Belichick, caddy for me. And just to see how that kind of would have worked.
You
know, wow.
Now, it might not have been good for me either, because Bill brings up bad things for me as well. Yeah, that's probably who I would have brought. Bill Belichick.
So that was some pre-match banter with Manning. Curious how to read that. I read it as Brady has been mother bleeping Bill to Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning knows how much Tom hates him because, and again, this is my initial read, is that, well, Manning was like, who should I have caddy for Brady? Well, Foles, he beat him, or Eli, he beat him. I'm trying to get in Brady's head here. I'm trying to mess with Brady. So, oh, I know, I'll give him his arch enemy, Bill Belichick. But then he brings out bad things in me as well. I mean, that's what Peyton Manning says. He brings out bad things in me as well. So do you think that's what he meant by that, Maz?
Oh, that's the way I'm going to take it, too. And by the way, can you imagine Belichick was actually, you know that, you know how you described Brady standing on the green counting his strokes? Bill would have been like, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the green, 5, 6. I made a 4. Cheating bastard. He would have counted his, he would have had the freaking best wood in his bag was the pencil, for crying out loud. We know how that works. Oh, that would have been awesome to have Belichick there. That would have been, I mean, I know it's a fantasy scenario, but absolutely to your point, I think it was like Manning knows what's out there about Tom and Bill. And I think he was playing along and saying, oh yeah, I've heard about how much of a dick your coach was. How about if I had him out here reading the putts or standing behind the hole while you're getting ready to putt? How do you like that? Oh, that would have been dynamite.
All right, so why do you think people liked that show so much yesterday? I mean, I thought it was good. I think most people agree it was a good product, a good watch. It got most of us. Is it just because of the times? It's that, you know, it's just the one cup of water in a desert. It's just we're so hard up for sports here in the apocalypse that we'll take anything. Is that what it was? Or was there something more than that? Paul in Somerville, your thoughts.
What golfer wasn't in that first match with Dustin and Rory? Which one wasn't? Yeah, I can't remember. Which golfer wasn't there? And why do you think most people tuned in Sunday? Of the four, which one do you think most people tuned in to see? I mean, I know, Mike, I know you're a really morally upstanding guy. I know you hate Tiger because he's such a bad person.
So
I just want to know what you got to say.
Your tone has got me off guard, so I don't understand what you're implying. So you're saying it's all Tiger?
Well, what do you think?
I think that's a bigger draw than Rory McIlroy, for sure.
You know, on Friday, you know, Tony might have gotten you upset because he said that this was also said by Michael Wilbon. The three names over the last 50 years, the greatest, the people that will tune in to watch, Ali, Jordan, Tiger. No, others are right there.
Well, Paul, let me tell you that the Tiger Phil Mickelson thing didn't do nearly as well as that yesterday. So that was Tiger.
You mean a year ago?
Whenever that was. I don't even know when it was. Yeah. I didn't watch it.
Right, because it was a joke.
Because most people didn't.
Let me ask you a question.
Because Tiger's not really a compelling figure, Paul.
Well, don't think he's a compelling figure.
Not really.
This guy's tone, like right out of the chute there.
Oh God, please, yeah, geez, I don't know what his problem was.
He's not. He was the most boring guy of the four yesterday. I mean, you want to argue if he's a great golfer or not? Does Tiger draw people to a regular tour event or a major if he's on there on Sunday? Of course he does.
If he's golfing, he's as compelling as it gets, as there is a professional athlete in pro sports. Off the golf course, he has the personality of a shoe.
But it's not just that. He's not a draw for an event like that yesterday. He's a draw if it's Sunday at Augusta or Sunday at the U.S. Open. Of course, yes, he's going to draw extra people. He's one of the few guys I would go watch. But I wouldn't watch him in an exhibition. Like, I don't think that's the draw yesterday. I don't. I'm sorry.
I mean, if you just do the math, okay, if we just do the math, the simple math, and we say that, well, Mickelson and Tiger did the pay-per-view event, and I had zero interest. But you add the quarterbacks, particularly Brady, but again, because Manning's entertaining in these things. I'm sorry. I find Manning to be really relatable, really entertaining. I thought he and Tiger to me were more fun. Mickelson annoys the crap out of me, all right? So that's a personal bias, but I think it was the quarterbacks. I mean, the quarterbacks are what made it different.
Did you see Phil explaining how he was going to set up this chip with the grain of the grass versus the amount of water on it? And you see this little patch of grass? It's dark green versus the... Did you see that?
Oh, God, of course!
And then he put it within about half of an inch. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. It was kind of impressive, but annoying.
I mean, look, so his short game is legendary. It's the strength of his game. He's a great wedge player. He's a good putter. I mean, all of that stuff with Mickelson. But he overthinks everything to a mind-numbing degree. Like, he's trying to explain the putts to Brady and say, okay, you know, you want to hit it here, and then the last third's really going to pick up speed. So, but, you know, you got to hit it with him. And I'm like, well, just shut up and let the guy putt. Like, whereas Woods would give Manning just a little bit of guidance, and he'd say to him, 90%, 105. You know, hit it here about 2 inches outside the hole. That's it. And it was nice and simple, and Manning could try to execute it. So I found that team to, you know, be in sync a little bit more. The harmony was better there. And again, I find Manning to be entertaining. I know people here hate him, and I certainly, you know, found that Brady sucking to be compelling. I thought it was great, and then especially when he ripped his pants, that was even better. So you know, but to me, the quarterbacks are the primary reason I tuned in.
Dave and Marlboro, hi, Dave. David. Okay. Now you got to be ready to go. Jerry on Cape Cod. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah, if you scored Brady out on that front nine, he probably would have had something, you know, close or even over to 50.
They said 45.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Somebody gave him some strokes then.
Well, I mean, he was in his pocket a couple of times, right? So
okay.
a double or a triple.
It made me think that I could have beaten him in that nine holes. So
me too.
That was a lot of the fun of it, no question. I think your point about, you know, yeah, we're starved to death for some attention to us in sports, and that was part of it. But I was extremely, extremely into it once he started screwing things up. I think that made the whole show.
Absolutely.
Oh, it was great.
It was so human. It's like, how is he going to screw it? What's he going to do next? He was,
it was great.
I mean, the typical, like, we've all had it, right? We've all had the chili dip. Skull across the green, chili dip. Skull across the green. Like, you go back and forth. You copping you chunk one, and then you skull the next one. Then you chunk skull. We've all done that. Brady did that, and he kept pushing it off to the right. Like, I'm screaming at the TV, like, Tom, attack the ball a little bit, man. You're trying to smooth it a little bit too much. You're coming out of yours. Like, I was even like giving him tips. Oh my God! I think the level of golfer is what made it. All right, so. If they try and do this again, I was reading this, you know, the match three, okay? So it's almost inevitable. And I can't remember where I cut and pasted this, but it was from somewhere. It's almost inevitable, they write. The first match, won by Mickelson in Vegas in 2018, came with a $9 million payday. It also had numerous technical glitches. And with just Woods and Mickelson involved, it lacked the banter we saw Sunday. The second iteration was a marked improvement, and it was probably livelier and more fun because the players were competing for bragging rights and charity. They write that Woods and Mickelson formed this partnership a few years ago with an eye on these type of matches. So they're going to continue to do this and pair different people and get different iterations of this thing. This writer says, next time, put Tiger and Phil together, and how about taking Rory and Justin Thomas, the young guys, and put them on another team with a big playout on the line. Who's to say the veterans wouldn't prevail, and wouldn't that be a big event? To which I say, no, 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 1,000 times no. No! I don't need to see four guys go tee to green. and be perfect. What made it compelling yesterday was the pros managing the amateur.
And, absolutely.
And I, to me, Brady and Manning were the perfect handicaps. They were, you know, Brady, and he got a lot of grief for this. His index was an 8, which means on that course, he probably played to about a 10 or 11 because that course is impossible.
Maybe even higher than that.
That course is impossible. That course can suck my tuchus. I was lucky enough to play, or unlucky enough to play that course, Maz, several years ago. It's one of the courses and one of the rounds of golf that drove me from the game. I haven't touched a club in maybe 5-6 years now. I haven't touched a club. And I used to be a relatively decent golfer. And I played the Medalist. And that course can suck the underside of my ass. That course is so freaking hard. It is, how many drives are you carrying? Like, and not that it's a hard carry, but like 170 or 180, depending on what tees you're playing, or 200, which shouldn't be that hard until you're standing there. And then you just miss hit it a little bit, and you come up short. Now you're hitting, you know, you're going for a double bogey 6 or a triple bogey 7 if you're lucky. You push it left or right, you're in some marsh or in some trees. There's traps all over the place. If you can survive all of that, there's freaking tight lies, these tight lies. Like, I can see Brady, chunk skull, and there's not enough grass underneath the ball. And then if you get on the greens, they're lightning. It's stupid course, stupid, hateable, awful course, one of the courses and one of the rounds of golf that drove me from the game. So I'm sorry. That was an impossible course. It is.
Oh, I loved it.
Okay, so but
again, I loved it. I was just checking the slope rating there and said it's 130, and that's low. There's no way it's 130. It's higher than that. You know, like somewhere in the 120 range is allegedly average. So it's higher than
that. Oh, the course, it may have been the hardest course I've ever played. It's up there.
Oh, it was great.
Okay, so anyway, Brady, I do think Brady's an 8 index, and he probably, you know, was going to be a 10 or 11 handicap on that course, and he played awful. Oh, he played awful. But I think he can play. But he and Manning are the perfect level, Maz, where they can hit a shot, they can birdie a hole, they can spin one in from a buck 10, they can drain a 20-foot birdie putt, they can also put it in the drink 3 straight times. And so there's a variance there that I think is, like, that's perfect. If they come back and do this and put 4 pros out there, snooze.
Yeah, it gets boring.
Or if you get someone who totally blows, like if you put Barkley out there and he's, you know, playing to a 24 or something, I don't need that. If they go like Tony Romo, I think he's too good. He's a scratch golfer. I need that, you know, somewhere between a 5 and 10 handicap, I think, is perfect next to those pros. And I think that's the perfect level. And it's got to be a celebrity, someone we know and care about, not another golfer, maybe someone from another sport or some sort of, you know, celebrity of some kind. And I think that's the sweet spot. That was yesterday. That was the sweet spot for me.
No, that would be good. Yeah, I mean, and again, having someone, some person, like off the top of my head, you know, instinctively I thought of Steph Curry, but I think he's too good. So, you know, I don't know, does LeBron play? LeBron might be fun out there.
I mean,
you
Steph Curry's like, supposed to be really good. Did you say that? I'm sorry.
That's why. I mean, I think Curry's almost too good. And so, but someone who would go out and shoot an 84, you know, on a good day, or an 82 on a good day, is like an 8 handicap, puts him in that area. And then if he sucks, he's shooting a 95. Like,
did you just say
like Brady? I would love to see that.
Did you just say Steph Curry?
I did, but I said I don't think he would work because he's too good.
Stu was in my ear. They're like, that shouldn't count as when hosts aren't listening. You know, Jimmy, you said it exactly when he said Steph Curry.
It won't. Don't worry.
So what's Jordan's number these days, right? Isn't Jordan like a 7 or an 8 somewhere in that area?
So that would be interesting, right? That'd be a guy you'd definitely be compelled because you know that every other freaking putt would have some sort of major side bet on it that, you know, they wouldn't tell you. But, oh, my God. So, like, that to me is what made it compelling. It wasn't to the, you know, first caller today. It wasn't Tiger. It wasn't. It was all that other stuff. And if you match Tiger with 3 other good golfers, I don't know. I'm not watching it. We continue with your thoughts. It is a Reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Banks, Maz.
Yep, absolutely right. Maybe you are looking to finance a home mortgage or commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account. Visit ebsb.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Lots of news out there on the returns of the sports leagues, particularly the NHL. Murray's got your headlines.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And the wrench. And the towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
We don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felga, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I still haven't seen the driver come out of the bag for Brady. Sticking to the fairway wood.
Big bounce.
That one flew right into a pimento bush. It flew right into a bush. I'd say I'm about 70 yards from it. I thought I might be in danger.
Brady almost takes out Justin Thomas. Never pulled out the driver. What a puss. What a puss.
He did. He wussed out.
And that's how he swung, too. He was afraid. He was like...
He was tight.
Was it tight or was he trying to smooth it or what? You know, you're sucking that bad and you still won't take out the driver and just let her rip. Oh, you Sally. And that's what made it so good. It's like, oh, Tom, you get that fairway driver again? You push that fairway driver 180 yards to the right again? Is that what you're just going to keep doing all day before you chunk skull some more chips up by the green? Like, that was great. Oh, that's what made it so good. But let me ask you, were you rooting for him or against him?
Against. I was rooting for Manning and Woods. I was rooting against Brady so hard. I wanted to see him suck so bad. I'm a bad person, I know. I enjoyed every minute of it. I did. I loved it. He sucked so bad. At one point, I was awestruck by how much he sucked.
Oh.
I was like, I did. I tweeted out, wow, Brady sucks. Like, it was absolutely, I couldn't believe how bad he was in the early going.
Well, so, like, I mean, like, I ran the gambit. I loved seeing him suck. And there's something about Maz. I'll make this analogy. Like, you know, like when you have a good friend who puts on weight, you're like, don't just love it? Like,
of course.
Oh yeah, dude, you put on a few. You know, it just because you make yourself feel better, or it's like, yeah, he's porked up. You feel good. You feel good when your good friends put on weight. It's like, aha, fat piece of crap. You know, and I sort of feel the same way about when a Mr. Perfect can't golf. It's like, yeah, you suck too. And so I was reveling in that. Oh, I loved it. But when the ball went in on eight, and then I started to flip and be like, all right, Tommy, let's go. Let me see you. Let me see Tommy Brady out here. Let me see you do your thing. And then I found myself starting to pull for him. And that's also what made it compelling. There was just that range and that, you know, I don't know. You see, he's such a compelling guy, he's such a compelling competitor, that when he got dialed in a little bit, not that he was ever great, but when he got dialed in a little bit, I started to find myself saying, well, let me see what he can do here. I started rooting for him.
Well, so look, you could see the competitiveness in him, even at charity event, right? Like when he rolled in that eagle putt after Mickelson drove the green, you know, that was like, okay, all right. I sort of went, oh, well, there you go. There's a little bit of the compete in him. You could see it. You could certainly see it some there. But, you know,
well, but also back to the sucking, I know how much it was tearing him up inside. Like,
right.
That's part of what I reveled in, too. It's like, oh, my God, he's so miserable. Oh, my God, this guy. Oh, he is absolutely fuming. And that's what made it so good, too, because you knew how pissed he was. And, you know, how much that all, any little competition like that matters to him, never mind one that's on TV.
I mean, let's not forget, too, that on the hole where he holed out from the fairway, he made the four there. I think they have the hole.
They have the hole.
They didn't win the hole. So, you know, he had to pull that one out of his trunk just to freaking split the hole. Otherwise, they'd have lost another one there.
I was going to say, Maz, did you find yourself wondering if another quarterback would have been better on that course yesterday?
Yes, Murray. Yeah. Garoppolo would have played better than that, that's for sure.
There was some choking on the back nine from all of them, except for Tiger, who was nails the whole thing. You know, so Brady sinks that long eagle putt, and I started to track this, and then I stopped myself, so I may get the holes wrong or the exact sequence wrong, because for the love of God, Felger, I'm not that desperate. I'm going to go back and like give you a play-by-play of every hole in a charity match, but it was something like this. Brady sank that long eagle putt on 11 where Mickelson drove the green. I think that took him one down, and then Brady had a far more makeable putt on like 12 or 13 that he missed. I'm like, oh, Tommy, that was the real choke. Like he missed a putt a couple holes later, maybe the next one or the two holes after he sank the eagle putt, that was a real makeable putt that would have brought him maybe all square or, you know, won another hole, and he missed it. So, oh, that was the choke, and he was pissed on that too. But then Manning missed an even shorter one.
Oh, yeah, that was a huge gag.
That gave him the hole. Maybe that was the same hole or the next hole. Like I said, I'm not going to bother to go give you the exact play-by-play, but Manning then missed another littler one that was either on the same hole or the next one that sort of bailed them out. And then Mickelson had one that was roughly the same length, maybe a little bit longer, but totally makeable for him, and he missed the entire hole. I'm like, oh, yeah, you're still a choking pig, you, dude. Like, you... Like, he's a perfect guy for that, too, because he's such a wild card and such a, I mean, at his heart, Mickelson's a choker, too.
Oh, so look, again, Mick, I can't stand Mickelson. I just find that the constant talking with him about nothing. He talks incessantly and says almost nothing 90% of the time. He drives me absolutely up the wall. And, you know, when Manning missed that putt, in fact, as it was unfolding, I found myself, like you, paying attention to the event, where I said, Tigers is going to get this close so Manning can tap it in. They miss, Manning taps in, they have the hole, it's a win. That's a win for them on that hole. And then Manning missed it. He missed it. Tiger could have gotten it a little closer there, but even so, Manning totally gagged, just like you and I would on a 2.5-footer.
Back to your calls in our long commercial-free segment next.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random 2x found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey Tom, it's Chuck. Chuck. If you hit the green, I'm gonna give $25,000 out of my own pocket.
Chuck, you're amazing. Chuck, you got any swing tips for me? I'm struggling.
Hey brother, listen, I'm not that guy you need tips from. But I'm going to donate, you know what, Tom, because you're my man, $50,000 if you hit the green.
Wow, Chuck, that's awful nice of you, man. Nice going. Was that, Chuck, $300,000? Or did you say it? Remind me?
You know, a little $50,000.
$50,000, that's it.
I want him to hit the green, too. I really do.
See if Tom Brady can get into Chuck's pocket here a little bit.
Come on. Chuck, you save yourself $50,000.
Oof. You know, Tom, that was... I should have just said if you can just keep it on the planet.
Hey, when's football season start?
About a month.
Oh, I'm ready.
I'm going to be in Florida for a month. I'll stop by.
Good. Come join me.
Okay, I liked it yesterday. Surprised myself how much I liked it. I think most people agree. Most people liked it. Ratings set a record. Highest rating for a golf event on cable ever. Higher than, you know, the Masters rounds are now on ESPN. FS1 carries U.S. Open rounds. Any other charity, any of the highest rated golf event ever on cable. So why? Was it just, are we that horny? Are we that hard up for competition, or was there something more yesterday? You think it's the first thing?
I think it's a combination of things, again, because you made a good point. The McElroy-Dustin Johnson thing, I didn't watch any of that.
Did nothing.
I rat's ass.
Did nothing.
Yeah, I couldn't care less about that. So the Brady element was a huge factor for me. And again, Brady Manning, to me, you introduced those two guys. If they were just sitting there playing cards or crying out loud, I'd probably watch.
I also think it was just a perfect combination of skill and good golfers, but not great. So there was imperfections there that had to be managed or coached, or there was real strategy there. You know, where these pros talk about strategy, layup, go for it. But what is,
with their perfect swings,
they're
and
just all
else. Like it's right, not relatable.
There's nothing there, you know. But if Manning can just get a 200-yard drive in the center of the fairway, that opens up. You know, I don't know. It was just
the alternating shot stuff was great because again, you know, if you could just hit one out there, you know that Mickelson or Tiger can go for the green.
It's the golf to me is, and I've talked about this a lot. I think golf has a real problem in that there's just not enough guys on tour that we care about. Tiger and Phil happen to be the two of them. Like maybe those might be the only two guys that I would tune in to watch. Honestly, McIlroy, Spieth, Koepka, like these guys just do nothing for me. They never have, and I just think golf lacks for it. So if they try and put two more pros out there in one of these events, I don't think it's going to help. I think you found the sweet spot with guys like Brady and Manning, that skill level and that fame level.
I mean, Mike, just think of it, right? You get two of the great winners in the history of sports out there at the same time from different sports, and two guys that should have won more that didn't. You know, that won, but should have won. Like the pairings were perfect. Really, the whole thing was it was set up well to give you what, you know, what it could give you or what it ended up giving you, because the star power of Brady and Tiger is gigantic.
Okay, a couple phones. Kevin and Worcester, go.
I'm a golfer. What I enjoyed was the fact that the bantering from the people like Barkley, and I turned it in for Manning and Brady. The other guys, you know, they're going to go down on the green in the hole.
Right.
That's boring.
Agreed. It was more relatable. It was more real. It was just that element. And believe me, Manning and Brady can golf. They're good. But that's how hard the sport is. That's how hard that freaking course is. That's how good guys like Mickelson and Woods are. But that made it real. And the production, I thought, was also excellent. Again, I'll just say, I think TNT or, you know, that the Turner production just sort of nailed it. And again, my guy Anderson, who doesn't get mentioned, he shouldn't. He's just sort of a perfect traffic cop there, a likable guy that stays out of the way. He was the play-by-play guy. I thought they did a good job. There were technical glitches because it was raining, of course, and not that it was perfect. But the whole thing with, you know, the earpieces, and they could get Koepka on the phone, get him into Brady's ear, and Brady could talk to Koepka through the TV. You know, like that was pretty nifty. And you know, never mind Barkley, and never mind all that back and forth. And when I saw that, Maz, I wrote this down. It's like, if they can get Koepka from across the country on the phone in Brady's ear on the course in Southeast Florida, and Brady can answer through the TV, and they can have a full back and forth like that, why do those fat ass umpires in baseball have to waddle across the field and put on those archaic, ridiculous can headphone, you know, Mr. Magoo things? And why do I have to watch these NFL umpires and refs waddle over to the sidelines? Like, why can't they all just have earpieces and talk to each other? It really is doable. It just shows you how clunky the replay stuff is. That's what I thought of. You know, like,
no, it's a good point.
Why can't it be that simple?
Well, it is that simple. And again, maybe it's just they want to give you the optics of it for some reason and dramatize. Who the hell knows? And we could all live without that. And the other thing is, who are we kidding? Those conversations are probably going on and we just don't know it. So, you know, but it's a fair point.
Here's John in Maine. Hi, John.
Hey, yeah. So you stole my thunder just on your last point a little bit, but I think the biggest difference between this match and the Rory one was the production on this one was 10 times better. I was kind of, you know, juiced up a little bit for that last one because I just needed some kind of sports. But there was like a commercial between almost every single shot on that last one. And, you know, my pea brain could only handle so much back and forth. So I think they just, like you said, they really nailed it. And with like Barkley and, you know, I think Adam Scott called him fat at one point. They kind of let it go a little bit. And,
right.
You know, I think they just, like you said, they found that sweet spot of being able to do it.
Well, so I didn't watch the other one, so I can't compare it. But I mean, maybe that should be a little bit of a model. If we're not gonna, I'm gonna hit on this coming up here with some Geisterspiel talk. If they can't have fans in the stands, can you get more people on the phone and on the broadcast? And is that a way to dress it up without having to fake crowd noise in there? Because I didn't feel this thing yesterday needed crowd noise. Did you?
No, no, I didn't. But again, you also had the participants mic'd up, right? So you could get some of the banter. And look, as much as some of it, you know, some of it was pretty ordinary and some of it was pretty entertaining. But it's like, a bunch of guys out in the golf course and someone F's up a shot and the other three get all over them, right? Like, it had that element to it. So you did have the participants mic'd up. Because if you take out the crowd and don't have participants mic'd up, well, then what do you got?
So, but again, maybe the McIlroy thing, again, I didn't see it. Maybe it was just stiffer all the way around. Sunday was not stiff. And that, I think, obviously really helped the production. Steve in New Hampshire. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Mike. How are you doing today?
Good. We're good.
So you said you watched this whole thing on Sunday, correct?
Most. Like, maybe 80% of it.
Okay. So you saw hole 6 or 7 from 677 on?
Just about.
And you just called Brady a puss for not using his driver, right?
I didn't see him use his driver. So, did he?
So, yeah, he did not have a driver in his bag.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
So, Steve,
yeah,
what's your point?
To use a club you don't have.
Well, what's your point, Steve?
Why would he bring a driver? Do you think they were counting clubs? They could only have 14 in their bag. If he brought out 15, do you think they would have penalized him?
No, I don't think they would have penalized him, but he didn't have a driver in his bag. And I mean, you're ragging on the guy for not using it, but he didn't have one.
Oh, so why didn't he put it in there?
The best club he had was the fairway driver.
Oh yeah, he was nailing that fairway driver, Steve. Don't you think? How many did he put in the marsh on the first 6-7 holes?
Apologize, Felger.
Sensi Brady fans, even in golf, Maz, it's good. This is why it's good.
Oh, you got to be kidding me! Like, again, so my question would then be: fine, yeah, he didn't put the driver in his bag. Why not? Well, you know. So again, what's he playing? The U.S. Open?
I mean, there were a couple.
Keep it in the fairway.
Some of this was alternate shot. The back nine was alternate shot where they all drove. So there could have been a couple holes where you just release the
unload.
Hounds.
Right, unload. You got nothing to lose after Mickelson belts went out there. Take a rip.
His fairway driver sucked. So, no, I don't take it back. I'll rag on him even more, you big puss. Bring out the big dog. Bring out the big boy, Tommy. And it's even better now because people get sensitive about it. Oh, it's great.
Wow. Might be a new low. Someone getting their freaking, you know, their foot joys in a bunch all because Brady didn't pack a driver.
It's great. I love it. You see, we're back. It gave us a little bit of that, Maz. You get root 4 against Brady. You can come out and, opine on Brady. You get all the Brady bitches get their back up somewhere. Chris Gasper's probably tweeting too.
I guess you didn't know he didn't have a driver in his bag, did you?
Tom Senior's probably calling TV shows or reporters somewhere. It's great. The wheel is spinning again. That's what we needed. Thank God.
You know who would have used his driver, Mike? I hate to bring it up. I know. They had the guy. They had him. And he would have used his driver. It doesn't matter if people didn't think he'd be good off the tee box. Bill thought he'd be good out of the tee box. Bill thought he could do it.
Jimmy G would have packed an 8.5 and a 10.5, Murray. Don't kid yourself. He'd had two drivers in there.
So good. We continue with your thoughts on this. Give you a few football items as well, including another prominent Patriots voice saying Jared Stidham will not be your starting quarterback in week 1 next year. We'll get to that after Murray's 90-second update. There are no commercials.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada. A destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs. The freshest flavors from land and sea. World-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.